for these words in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm curious if you would, you know, just raise your hand and let me know. Who's here on a family trip? And who drove all the way here from your home? How far? Who's from? Where are y'all from?
We're from Iowa.
Iowa. Yep. And you drove?
About 1,000 miles.
About 1,000 miles. I got you. Ours is about 1,100 miles. I come from Kerrville, Texas. So there you go. My name is Bert Betts. I'm the chaplain here for the month of June. And my family and I have enjoyed being here for the month of June. And my son and I, we drove all the way from Kerrville, a little over 1,100 miles. And so, but I was thinking about, you know, when you take a family trip, you're with family, there's a question that can be asked from the back seat, right?
Yeah.
What is that question?
How are we getting there?
Yeah, are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's the question, the universal question of road trip. And St. Paul has an answer to that question for us today when he writes the church in Corinth. A question might be asked, are we there yet? And St. Paul has an answer, and the answer is yes. He's the question might be about our story, our hope. Is the Messiah here? Is the day of salvation here yet? Are we there yet? And St. Paul's answer is yes. He says, see, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. He's reminding the church that he planted in Corinth that, hey, friends, remember the day of our salvation is now. We've arrived. Are we there yet? Yes. We are there. We've arrived at this climactic moment we've all been waiting for. He's reminding, St. Paul's reminding the Corinthians and us today, 2,000 years later, we need to hear this anew, that the day of salvation is now. And he's reminding them, open your hearts, receive this story, receive this good news, this gospel once again. That's why we come here. We come here certainly for the view. We come here to enjoy the mountains. But we come here to this chapel to hear the scriptures open to us again, to be reminded that the day of salvation has arrived. I'm reminded of how we are brought into this story that is our own, the true story, the Christian narrative, the good news that becomes our own story. I'm reminded of, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, if any of you know that movie, it's an old movie called The Never-Ending Story. You ever seen that movie? It's sort of an unusual film, but I remember how the movie's about this young boy, Bastian, who's a little boy who he winds up in this bookstore. He's running away from these other boys, and he tries to escape, and he winds up in this bookstore, and this old man gives him this book, and it's called The Neverending Story. And the man says, you know, he almost says, warns him, be careful about reading this book, because you don't know, you might become one of the very people in the book. And that sounds like, that can't happen. And Bastian, he's reading this book, and it's this fantasy about all these flying creatures, and it's this fantastic world found in this book, The Neverending Story. And Bastian, he's so engaged with the story at one point that he calls out. He's, you know, you've probably read a book like that. You've called out, and he calls out, and the characters in the book respond. And he thinks, that can't be true. I can't be a part of this story. And a part of that movie, that film, is that he does become a part of the story. And that is much like our story of salvation, the scriptures. We open them up. We're not so sure that we might become members of this very story, but we do become members of this story that's reached its climax in Christ. The priest scholar Sam Wells, who's now in London at St. Martin in the Fields, he was once a chaplain or dean at Duke Divinity School, and he has a great way of understanding our own story of salvation. And it's much like you take the whole of the Bible, that's really the never-ending story, you take the whole of the Bible in sort of five acts. So Act 1 is creation and fall. That harkens back to the very beginning, Genesis, Adam and Eve, and we know that God created the world, this great scenery that we enjoy today. God created the world and it was good, but things went awry. There's this fall that we know. This conflict arises. Sin enters the world, and so we need some salvation. We need a day of salvation. And so the story continues, and we come to Act 2, and that's the people of Israel. So God chooses to stick with his own storyline. He will save his people. He will do something about the conflict that has arisen in this grand narrative. And so Israel, they're the people that are chosen and to be a blessing through whom all peoples of the earth will be blessed. And they await this Messiah. They await this day of salvation. And it arrives in Act 3. Act 3 is Jesus. He gets his own act, as he ought to have his own act. And so he's Act 3 in this grand narrative that we know, that's our own never-ending story. And Jesus is Act 3. He's the climactic person of this story. And then we, as we gather here in the Chapel of the Transfiguration, we find ourselves in this grand narrative. We're like Bastion calling out, and characters are responding to us. We're in Act 4. We're the church. We're the people of God that take our part in this story, Act 4. And you might be thinking, well, if it's five acts, what's to come? The best part is to come, and that's Act 5. That's this new heaven and a new earth that God promises that to give us, that this day of salvation will come to its completion in the end. John, in the book of Revelation, he has this vision of a new Jerusalem coming down, a new heaven and a new earth. And that day will come. That day of salvation will be made complete. But Paul, in such confidence, knows and reminds us that we live in this day of salvation now. I remember going on a hunting trip with my nephew Victor in South Texas. And we were out and we had a great time, enjoyed the day. We saw a bunch of deer and wildlife and had a great time. At the end of the day, we were having dinner had this wonderful meal, this wonderful day. And I looked to my nephew, Victor, and I said, Victor, what was your favorite part of the day? And he said, well, Uncle Bertie, it was having s'mores. I thought, well, wait a minute. We haven't had s'mores. We were going to go out by the campfire. We haven't had s'mores yet. And so I said, but Victor, we haven't had s'mores yet. And he said, I know, but we will. And he was right. And so very much like our own part in the story in this five-act drama, we look ahead. We know Act 5 is to come. So what's our favorite part of the day? It's a new heaven and a new earth. That's to come. The question is asked, are we there yet? Have we arrived? And we have in Christ. And now we open our hearts. That's what Paul says. Open our hearts to receive this good news and await the sure hope that we have in Christ. So are we there yet? And the good news, the good answer given to us this day is yes, we have arrived. Amen. Amen.